I don't want to say anything that will offend anyone, and yet I don't want to say anything that is unscriptural, but I'm going to probe your thinking. I am determined, by God's help and grace, not in my strength, but in His strength, that we are going to invade territories of the devil this year that we have never tread upon, and we will make inroads into some of his strongholds before the end of 1981 by God's help and grace. And I believe God is surrounding me with people that are willing and ready to pay the price that we're going to see it accomplished. Note verse 1. Joshua rose late in the morning. Know what it said? Oh, let's look at that again. Rose early in the morning. Amen. And spiritual to rock. I've studied too many of their lives. Great men of God. They get up early in the morning. Show me a church that's on the grow and on the go. I'll show you a man that's up early in the morning. God puts no premium on laziness. He was up early in the morning, and they moved from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way hithertofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. That's as far as I'm reading. I have other scriptures, and I would admonish you to take them down. Do not try to turn to them, because I'll read one here and there just to help you. Let's take a look at where we are. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan. The Jordan is at flood stage. Nothing short of a miracle can take them across that Jordan. They did not get up one morning and say, well, today we're going to cross the Jordan. But Joshua sent elders among the people and talked to them and says, get ready. Prepare yourselves to go over this Jordan. And here's how you prepare yourselves. He says, tomorrow there's going to be a great thing that's going to happen. But I want you to sanctify yourself. I want you to set yourself apart. That's what sanctification means. I want you to be separated apart from everything else so that the Lord can minister to you and be prepared to go over and to receive this great thing that God is going to do for you tomorrow. I want you to get everything else out of the way. I want you to cease worrying about other things. I don't want you fretting about this or that. I want you to set yourself apart unto the Lord. I want your mind to be stayed upon Him. I want your thoughts to be concerning Him. I want you to remember where God has brought you from. I want you to pull yourself apart from everything else and set your heart upon God. Because tomorrow, there's going to be a great thing that's going to happen. But today, you've got to get ready to receive that great thing that God is going to do for us. Pull yourself apart. Stand apart. Get away from everything else. Is it any wonder sometimes that God cannot minister to us? We run, hustle, and bustle, throw something on the table for the family to eat, rush out of the house, leaving the dishes and knowing we got to wash them when we get back, got to get up in the morning, and we rush, 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 and we walk into the church and we sit down and say, here I am, God, pour it on me. Right? Now, it is true that God does that. But I'm going to ask you something. Is it fair to expect God to continuously do that without us spending some time alone with Him? Amen? I want you every day from now until Monday night, the 19th, to pull yourself apart and spend some time praising God. Amen? You hear what I said? Praising God. That's not saying, give me, give me, give me. That's thanking Him for what He has done. Amen? Thanking Him for the blessings you've already received. For the opportunity to hear the Word. For the opportunity. Amen? For God to minister, to be on an app, God can speak to you and God can deal with you. Pull yourself apart and spend some time praising and worshiping Almighty God. If we're going to receive great things from God, we're going to have to prepare for them. We're going to prepare our hearts. We're going to prepare our minds. We're going to prepare our spirits to receive from God. That preparation does not come easily. Many times we get exactly what we believe for. We get little things, that's what we believe for, because that's all we have prepared for. We have not prepared for great things. We have not prepared to see the supernatural manifestation of God performing that great miracle. We haven't prepared our hearts. We haven't prepared our minds. We haven't prepared our spirits to receive that. If we received it, we'd receive it upon our own lust, not upon the great and glorious testimony of God's graciousness. We would feel we had earned it in some way. That's why I don't want you coming to God saying, hey, God, today I prayed 3 hours now, and God, I want you to put a tally on that, because by the 19th I'm going to have... No, I don't want you to think you're going to earn anything on the 19th. You're not going to earn a thing. What you're going to do is going to spend more time with God and get yourself ready and get your faith built up and get your expectancy high and get your anticipation high, and you're going to walk in here on the 19th and you're going to be believing God for a miracle, hallelujah, because you have prepared your heart and your mind to receive from God. Hallelujah. You're going to be prepared to receive. You're going to come in, you're expecting God to do something. Amen? Because you have spent time waiting before Him. Not that you have earned it. You cannot earn it. Don't get that. Not that you're going to pray and get good enough to get it. No one will receive it because they're good enough. Amen. You will never be good enough to receive it. You're going to receive it because you have prepared your heart. You have waited in His presence. You have loved Him. You poured yourself apart. You've showed the Lord, Lord, you're more important to me than other things. You're more important to me than this. You're more important to me than calling my best friend and spending 45 minutes on the phone with her. You're more important to me, Lord, than going over to someone's house and drinking coffee with them. I'm going to take that time and I'm going to spend it with you, loving you. Lord, I want to be in your presence. I want to be prepared for whatever you've got for me, Lord. I want to go there expecting it to take place. Hallelujah. Now, these people didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew something great was going to happen, because whenever the man of God told them to prepare, they prepared to receive great things. Let's look at some scriptures and just jot these down. This is not the first time God ever said this. In Exodus 19 and 10, He says, and the Lord said unto Moses, Now he's talking to Joshua the first time, it's a time I read to you just a few minutes ago, but here he's talking to Moses. He says, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Now the Lord was about to appear to them. He is about to do something on their behalf. But before they could be visited from God, he said, I want them to sanctify themselves today and tomorrow and wash their clothes. Amen. Now, we don't have a lot of problem with this, but a lot of times people, and I just want to throw this in, you know, I like to take advantage of every little nugget. And a lot of people, they come along sometimes and they think, well, all those people do is go to church, see who can dress the best. God puts no premium on slouchiness. Amen? And he didn't want them him coming to visit them, Elsie, with them having on dirty clothes. He says, wash your clothes. Amen? Hallelujah. And if they would have had right guard back there, and he would have said, put on right guard. Isn't it nice how the Lord covers every little thing for us, Adrian? You can just slide it right in right there. Amen? Prepare! The Lord's going to visit us. Hallelujah! He's going to do something great. Now, if all you've got is blue jeans and a t-shirt, you're welcome. Amen? But I don't think you should put on your best duds to go down here to see the governor and come to God's house looking like a bum. Amen. Now, I know someone will write a little dinky note to me and say, guess what I thought? Y'all put premium on how you dress. That's not what I said. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to know that robe I'm going to wear to the marriage supper of the Lamb is not going to come from some rummage sale. Amen. Hallelujah. Check that one out. There was another time God talked to some people about this business also. He talked to Jacob one time. In Genesis 36, 1 and 2, or 35, 1 and 2, he says, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appears unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Why? God's going to visit us. Hallelujah. How do we know God's going to visit us? Because we have prepared. God said, build me an altar. I can't get there until there is some place for me to meet with you. God doesn't just come and just meet with you in any kind of old situation. He'll come to the sinner at that point. But the believer, he expects you to prepare. He expects you to prepare your heart. And this was an attitude of the heart. He says, prepare an altar. What does an altar speak of? It speaks of sacrifice. It speaks of self-denial. It speaks of crucifying the flesh. It speaks of holiness. It speaks of purity. It speaks of sanctification. That's what the altar speaks about. Anywhere you see an altar, you think immediately of sacrifice. Because wherever an altar was built, somebody had to die. Something was going to give up its life. And thanks be unto God that when we prepare to meet him today, we put aside everything and present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Almighty God. And where did Jacob went and built an altar? We're going to have an altar in our hearts, hallelujah, because we're going to build it there by the word and by praise and by rejoicing. So when God comes into our midst, we can meet with him, not at a rock, not at some wooden altar, but we're going to meet with him, hallelujah, upon the altar of our hearts, which is our spirit and our very soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Jacob built an altar. And he says, now, all y'all get rid of your, get rid of your false gods. Amen? Because the only
Almighty, hallelujah, is going to come. If you've got your little rinky-dink gods around here, you're going to be embarrassed. Get rid of them. Monday night week. Now, don't you get upset with me. I don't want you bringing something in your purse or in your pocket that you use as a replica or something to remind you of God. You won't need anything to remind you of God. He'll be here. Amen. Amen. If you prepare for Him, He never fails to meet you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can go ahead and read this scripture here and go on and study the life of Jacob. When Jacob got that altar built, did he wait around there and God didn't show up? Did God get so busy he didn't come? No, sirree. When he got the altar built, when he got the people ready, he said, I want you to be clean. And he said, I want you to put on new garments. And don't you have none of those wooden gods around here. Don't you have one of those false gods around here. I want all of that stuff put out of the way. I don't want any of that around. I want everything put aside. I don't know what might be your God. Maybe your husband is your God. Maybe your wife is your God. Maybe your business is your God. Maybe your money is your God. Maybe pleasure is your God. But if you want to meet with God, you've got to get everything else out of the way, because the real meaning of God's meeting with you is that He'll only come to meet with those that recognize Him as the Almighty, the Supreme, the Everlasting, the only God, hallelujah, the God of all of creation, of the heavens and earth. He is the only God. Amen. He doesn't come to a conference table to discuss whether He's greater than some other God. He's the only God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. If you want to have a meeting with Him, get all the rest of that garbage out of the way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you as excited as I am? I feel this. And if you get these things out of the way, get those things out of the way you've been holding on to, afraid to give up, afraid to turn loose up. Give them up. Get them out of the way. And say, God, I'm just going to count on You and You alone. Amen. I'm not going to be relying on anything else. Now, I don't want anyone to get upset with me. But one day, I stepped off the altar here to pray with a little lady that didn't know any better. And there she was. She was praying one way, using things that I did not pray with and knew that God did not really want us praying with. She didn't know any better. And I said to her, I said, honey, what are you doing with that? She said, this is the only way I know how to pray. I said, but you've come today and we don't pray that way. She says, but I thought if you would pray your way and I'd pray my way, that surely one of us would touch God. And my heart went out to her because that's all she knew. And I explained to her how that God would meet her. And I prayed for her. She was slain in the spirit right along about here. I talked to her afterwards. She was praying for a drunken son of hers. The son was lost. She was reaching out to God with everything that she had. This was in the beginning of the service, of the 4 o'clock service on a Sunday afternoon. This happened. I prayed with her. About halfway through my message, a man came in and was standing against the wall about where the black brother is back there with a white shirt on, right by the door, just standing back against the wall. And I preached. People came to the altar, and this man come down to the front. I want you to hear this. He came down to the front. When I walked up close to him, the smell of liquor would almost knock you down. And I said to him, I said, sir, have you ever been here before? No. He said, I don't know what happened to me. He said, I was in a bar room, and I'd been there drinking for several hours. And said, a voice spoke to me and says, get up and take a cab and go to that church on Airline Highway. He said, I've never been here in my life. He said, I don't know why I'm here. And I prayed for him. He was slain in the spirit right over there. He lay there as though he was dead for several minutes. And then he got up from there and he shook himself and he looked at me and a smile was on his face. And he said, I don't understand what's happening. He said, I may smell drunk, but I'm not drunk anymore. He said, I'm delivered. And about that time, I heard a war whoop. And here comes this little woman from out of the aisles back here running down there and screaming and runs to him and grabs him and said, that's my boy, that's my boy, that's my boy, that's my boy. Amen? Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say to you is, friend, that God meets people. God meets people on the knowledge they have. But tonight, I'm dumping knowledge on you. I'm sharing with you the word. A lot of you people have had enough blessings from God that it's time you quit, get all the crutches out of the way. It's time you throw away all of the little things you've been clinging to and holding on to. It's time you take hold of God and God alone and say, God, you're enough for me and you're all that I need, and I'm going to cling to you and I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to serve you. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter who turns against me or what happens to me, I'm going to be faithful to you, and I know you'll be faithful to me. And if you'll prepare your heart, hallelujah, then God's going to meet you and manifest himself unto you in that manner. Amen. God wants to, but you got to make preparation. If Jacob had not built an altar, God would have never met him. But when he built the altar, God met him. Let's look at another scripture. 1 Samuel 16 and 5. And he said peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. This is the father David and all the family that's coming to the sacrifice. You didn't go to the sacrifice till you were sanctified, set apart, cleansed. Amen? It had to be. No man went in the presence of God. Hear Brother Gorman for a moment. Hear Brother Gorman for a moment. See, don't classify yourself with a sinner. How many people here tonight, you know you're a Christian? You know you're a Christian. Put your hand down. Then you can't classify yourself with a drunk. You can't classify yourself with a prostitute, a drug addict, a thief, a person never been born again. They come just as they are. But God expects you and I to prepare to meet him. Amen? And I think some of you are pulling up short. And you're finding out that God's tired of you just running by for 5 minutes and say, God, I'm in a hurry today. I only got 5 minutes. But here are the things I want you to do for me. Will you please take care of them? And on your way. God wants you to take time to spend with him. He wants you to prepare. He wants you to set aside time. He wants you to set yourself apart. I'm going to be honest with you. You thought I was hard to get in touch with last year. You ain't seen nothing until this year. Because I intend to pull myself apart for prayer and study as I have never done in my life. That is a promise that I have made unto Almighty God. And I will keep that promise by God's help and grace. Committee meetings may have to go without me. Board meetings may have to go without me. There will be counseling session that have to go without me. But one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to set myself apart that I can meet with God and God can meet with me, because I find in the Word of God that every time men prepared to meet God, that God never stood them up. He never stood them up. And I believe that God will never stand me up. And if I'll prepare to meet him, and I'll make plans to meet him, and I'll set aside time for God, that God will set aside time for me and will spend time with me. And more important to me than anything else is to spend time with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not going to be just an ordinary preacher. I never have been. I'm going to be worse till Jesus comes than I've ever been. I want all God has for me. I want every bit God's got for me. But for me to get that, I got to spend time with him. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're going to know the mind of God, you got to spend time with him. Hallelujah. This guy that's writing our magazine, it's done. How many of you have enjoyed the magazine? Have you enjoyed it? The magazine has improved considerably. But we're improving the magazine. Because I told him I wasn't happy with it. I said, you're not putting enough of what my real thoughts are in it. I said, I want it to minister more. Now, it already ministers. But I want it to minister more. I wasn't happy with it. You know what that guy had the audacity to say to me? He said, I got to spend more time with you. Because if I'm going to write what you're thinking, I got to know what you're thinking. And you know what I said to him? Then get yourself from Tulsa down here. And just stay out of my way and follow me and listen to me talk. That's what I told him. Amen. And I said, as you stay with me, you will find out what I'm thinking. You'll find out what's going on. He said, that's exactly what I've got to do, Brother Gorman. If I'm going to get more of that into the magazine, I've got to hear it, more of it from you. I said, well, get down here where you can hear me then. Just come down here and spend time. Now, you know what I was really saying? When I walked out of there, God says, hey, if you'd like to know more about what I'm doing, guess what? Spend more time with me. Amen? Hallelujah. That's exactly right. God took my own message and threw it right back in my face. And I do spend time with God. I do spend time with God. But I'm going to spend more time with God. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to prepare for meeting time with God. I'm going to set myself aside. And the phone's not going to disturb me. And people's not going to disturb me. And nothing else is going to disturb me. I'm going to spend time with God. Amen? Amen? Hello, I don't know what you get. I'm having a ball. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God blessing my soul. Hallelujah. Paul wrote to Timothy. Amen. I like this. Listen to it. If a man...